From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where in the age of virtual learning, schools are facing a new threat, ransomware. Now, you've probably heard that word a lot lately related to cases where hackers hold computer systems hostage until their demands for ransom are met. These cyber attacks have targeted all kinds of institutions, including public schools. GBH's Meg Woolhouse has been digging into this phenomenon and joins us now. Hey, Meg, thanks for being with us and happy Friday.
Hello and happy Friday.
So ransomware attack has been sort of a buzzword lately. I'm thinking about the Colonial Pipeline, the Massachusetts Steamship Authority. But now the cyber attackers are targeting public schools. I mean, nobody's safe out here. So tell us more about that.
Yes, so unfortunate. These attacks are more common in schools because this is really a crime of opportunity. And COVID meant that more school and school services were conducted remotely. So all the things that made remote learning possible also made school systems more vulnerable. Here's just one example. In Haverhill, the IT director, Doug Russell, happened to be sleepless in the wee hours of April 8th. He caught an alert on his phone that the school district's computer system had suddenly crashed. Hopped in his red truck to check out the district servers at City Hall. He met a coworker there, and as they were investigating, a ransomware demand popped up on a screen. The ransom note, he said, was actually very businesslike. Let them know that they would unencrypt the school's computers for money. You know, this is definitely a problem that Haverhill could have done without, certainly in a pandemic, right? It's a small city on the New Hampshire border, and it's not wealthy.
Yeah, and I wonder why cyber attackers would target a place like Haverhill. I mean, like you said, it's not a wealthy district.
Well, experts say the attacks can be indiscriminate. Maybe someone in the district accidentally gave up a password in a phishing attempt. Phishing with a PH, that is. And the people who are doing this are basically looking for anyone who might pay. Public schools like Boston serve as many as 52,000 students. So you can imagine the pressure large districts are under to have schools up and running, as opposed to a single private school, say. Federal officials at Homeland's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency say the ransomware problem is reaching new heights. Associate Director Don Benick says the nation's in the midst of a ransomware pandemic.
We are definitely backs against the wall fighting against nation state and other adversaries that are continually and persistently trying to infiltrate government and municipality networks.
Ransomware attackers can be part of sophisticated international crime rings with millions in assets. The crime syndicates even sell ransomware so that a person lacking any tech savvy can just go online and buy a ransomware hit.
Kind of like going to McDonald's and ordering a Big Mac. You can go and order a ransomware attack and leverage it.
So all of this is really no match for a place like Haverhill, where the biggest city council item, you know, recently was to install new sidewalks. In Massachusetts, Springfield and Rockland have also faced ransomware attacks. And those are only the instances that we know about that became public. Sometimes school districts will quietly pay off a ransomware attack, or their insurance will.
But should they?
Well, federal officials say districts shouldn't cow to cyber attackers' demands. So that's an emphatic no. But one of the problems within the problem is that someone who can get into a district system can also retrieve private information, like students' social security numbers. In Springfield and Haverhill, the district officials there refused to pay. They determined that the lost information was already backed up and could be replaced. But still, you know, Springfield IT Director Paul Foster says 25,000 students in his district lost a half a day of school because of an attack.
In a pre-COVID environment, school systems wouldn't have been as valuable as targets because, you know, to be honest, school systems were sort of behind the times on technology.
And he says he has little doubt that COVID and the shift to remote learning played a role, calling public school systems juicy targets. Doug Levin, national director of the nonprofit K-12 Security Information Exchange, says there were more than 50 publicly reported ransomware attacks on schools alone in 2020 in the U.S. And imagine you're a parent who finds out your kid's school was attacked and your personal information has been compromised and someone opens up a credit card in your name or in your kid's name.
Oh, goodness grief. That sounds like such a headache.
Yeah, it's a parent's nightmare.
So how does a school district avoid all this going forward?
You know, everyone's so tired already because of the pandemic. Everyone who works in schools. But there are things a district can do. CISA, the federal agency, offers support, and they're coming out with new guidance about what they call computer hygiene and system hygiene, so that might help. There's also thinking that districts may be better able to take precautions using some of the federal COVID relief funds that are being distributed now.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. That's GBH education reporter Meg Woolhouse. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. State lawmakers will hear testimony today in favor of a bill to create supervised drug consumption sites in Massachusetts. The proposal would create a 10-year pilot program to allow sites where people could use drugs under medical supervision. Falmouth State Representative Dylan Fernandez is one of the bill's sponsors. He says such programs are successful in preventing overdose deaths in other countries such as Canada.
We're supposed to be a state without stigma, and so we need to give people all the tools that we can to prevent these deaths.
State data show more than 2,000 people died of an opioid-related overdose last year. In other news, fishermen across the East Coast are expected to harvest fewer scallops, or is it scallops, this year, including in Nantucket. Tara Riley is the town biologist for Nantucket. She says harvesting has slowly declined since the mid-1980s.
We do have increasing pressures put on our island, and that can cause habitat problems for the shellfish, and then ultimately we have problems in the fishery.
Nantucket is making efforts to address the problem, such as decreasing septic tanks along the watershed and limiting the use of fertilizers. And staying at the seaside, earlier this week I asked our texting group for some of their favorite beach recommendations. And even though it's not really going to be a beach weekend, I figured we could all just take a moment and imagine being there together. First, we'll start on the very tip of the Cape at Herring Cove Beach in Provincetown, which is a favorite for Marianne and Stoughton. You know, I got some really good fudge in Provincetown once. So after we pick that up, we'll follow Lucia from Saugus up to Wingersheek Beach in Gloucester. But just in case it's too crowded, Lucia recommends setting up along the Seabrook-Salisbury line. While we're there, we'll follow Tim from Somerville to Plum Island and afterwards head over to downtown Newburyport for dinner and ice cream. Oh, this sounds like the perfect beach day to me. I'm looking forward to when the weather is nice enough to visit all these places. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since your favorite beach and the perfect summer day. I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Way. Every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. On Point, hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty, sets out to make sense of the world together. From the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment and so much more, On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.